Good evening. Merry Christmas. It's good. It's good to be here tonight, isn't it? Taking time out of our busy schedules, family gatherings, last-minute shopping. I hope no one's going shopping tonight. To focus our attention and our adoration on the focal point of Christmas. Indeed, the focal point of all Scripture and all history. Our Savior, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Will you join me as I open this time of preaching and prayer? Lord Jesus, we lift our praise and our worship and our adoration to you. With humble reverence, we proclaim you as our King. And with joyful hearts, we proclaim you as our Savior. We ask for your Holy Spirit to refresh us tonight with the truth and the miracle of Christmas. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, our Advent series this month has been about the true spirit of Christmas. We've preached on the spirit of surrender, the spirit of hope, the spirit of grace, and the spirit of joyful worship. And we have seen how each of these important themes of the Bible are exemplified in the Christmas narrative. And we conclude tonight with the spirit of proclamation. The events surrounding the birth of Jesus were filled with proclamations. An angel proclaimed to Mary in Luke chapter 1 and to Joseph in Matthew chapter 1 that God had chosen Mary to give birth to the promised Messiah. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and announced, "Mary is the mother of my Lord," in Luke chapter 1. Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied that through Jesus, God would bring redemption and salvation, Luke 1, 67 to 69. And as we just heard read, on the night Jesus was born, an angel proclaimed that Jesus is the Savior and Christ the Lord. According to Merriam-Webster Dictionary, to proclaim is to make known openly or publicly. It is to announce or to publicize. The opposite of proclaiming is to conceal or suppress or withhold. And the message tonight can be summarized like this. When we receive the good news of Christmas, the Holy Spirit leads us to proclaim God's truth to others and proclaim our worship to God. When we receive the good news of Christmas, the Holy Spirit leads us to proclaim God's truth to others, to make God's truth known openly, to publicize it. And when we receive the good news of Christmas, our hearts overflow with worship to our Savior, who is Christ the Lord. In the moments we have tonight, I'd like to consider each phrase of this message, beginning with when we receive the good news of Christmas. In Luke 2, verse 10, an angel of the Lord proclaimed, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." Now, I know we've been trained in recent years to distrust the news. The term fake news has become commonplace. But traditionally, news has been associated with facts. Journalists are to report the news. The birth of Jesus was not a matter of opinion. It was a verifiable, newsworthy fact. In God's sovereignty, the angel even provided specific details to uniquely identify this baby. Born this day, he was newborn in the city of David, that is Bethlehem, in lying in a manger. That's pretty narrow, right? Not a lot of newborn babies in Bethlehem lying in a feeding trough that night. But this news was more than just a birth announcement. As good and joyful as that is, the birth of Jesus was good news of great joy because it was the birth of a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The angel's good news proclamation could be a summary statement for the New Testament. Jesus is our Savior and Christ the Lord. Our culture tries to divorce the spirit of Christmas from the good news of Christmas. There's presents to buy and lights to be hung and parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting. I've never done that at Christmas. Caroling out in this beautiful spring weather. Our culture tells us it's the most wonderful time of the year. But none of these heartwarming traditions define Christmas. Christmas is not a set of traditions. Christmas is the good news. Christ the Savior is born. You see, we need a Savior. Each one of us here tonight, young and old, need a Savior because we are all stained with sin and unable to meet God's perfect holy standard, Romans 3:23. No amount of good works can overcome our sin. Scripture explains that Jesus lived the perfect sinless life we can never live in order to pay the penalty of our sin in our place. And Jesus didn't just pay the penalty of our sin. He also proved his power over sin and death by rising again. In John chapter 11, Jesus said to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." That is the hope we have in Christ. That is the good news of Scripture. And perhaps you noticed that Jesus said, "Everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." As Pastor Michael preached last week, the grace of God is a gift we must receive. We receive by believing. It does no good to hear the good news of Christmas, to give presents and sing carols, or even come to church on Christmas Eve and not receive the good news of Christmas. The Apostle John, writing about Jesus, explains that to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, John 1:12. And Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that is Jesus, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life," John 3:16. The good news of Christmas is the best gift you can ever receive. It is the gift of God's grace, forgiveness of your sin, and eternity with him. But it's a gift you must receive. Paul explained that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Don't let Christmas Eve 2019 end tonight without receiving the good news of great joy that is for you. When you receive it, Scripture teaches that you also receive God's Holy Spirit to help you, to convict you, to comfort you, to strengthen you, and to guide you in all truth, which leads to our second point tonight. When we receive the good news of Christmas, the Holy Spirit leads us to proclaim God's truth to others. It's natural to share news with others, and I think it's particularly true of good news. Your favorite team wins. You get a job promotion. It's going to be 55 degrees tomorrow. We want to tell other people about it, right? I know there's people here that, like, that's bad news. You know, they want snow. And I grew up in Minnesota. I've had plenty of white Christmases. I'm enjoying the weather. Amen? You know, you're supposed to be out sledding. I passed a kid in shorts and a t-shirt shooting hoops. I don't get that. Yeah. The shepherds received the good news of great joy and wasted no time proclaiming it to others. Verse 16 tells us the shepherds left their field with haste to locate the promised Savior lying in a manger. And Luke records that when they found Jesus, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. This passage of Scripture is so familiar, I easily skip past these verses that imply there were other people besides Mary and Joseph present or near the manger. You see that verse 15 and 16? The angels departed, the shepherds go immediately to find Jesus. Then verses 16 and 17, they find Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, and they make known the good news that they had been told. In verse 18, Luke says, all who heard the news wondered about it. It wasn't just Mary and Joseph, or I think he would have said that, because later it says Mary pondered these things. So all would have left it with Joseph. So I think there were other people nearby. And the shepherds proclaimed the truth about this baby who had just been born. Now, I know this blows up every depiction of the manger scene that includes Joseph, Mary, Jesus, and some shepherds, except this display that has Santa, the Grinch, elves, and toy soldiers present, but they need help. But think about it. In verse 6, Luke writes that while they were there, meaning while Joseph and Mary were in Bethlehem, the time came for her to give birth. So it doesn't appear, unlike many of the stories we hear, that Mary went into labor the night they arrived. They had probably been there a while. And if Bethlehem was overcrowded due to the census, Mary and Joseph were probably not the only ones without a place to stay. So I think it is reasonable to assume that others had assembled near the manger, either out of curiosity or assistance. But they would have lacked any knowledge about the significance of this baby. The shepherds arrived and wasted no time proclaiming God's truth to all they met. It's a natural response when you encounter Jesus and recognize him for who he is. In Luke chapter 8, Jesus healed a man who was plagued by demons. Fully healed, Luke records the man begged Jesus to join him on his travels. But Jesus told him to return home. So the man went home proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. Luke 8:39. In John chapter 4, having interacted with Jesus, a woman at the well left her water jug and went into the town to tell the people about Jesus. In Acts chapter 4, the religious leaders had Peter and John arrested and commanded them to stop proclaiming the name of Jesus. They responded, "We cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard," Acts 4:20. Jesus told his disciples to go into all the nations and teach them all he had commanded, Matthew 28. Peter writes that we are to always be ready to answer anyone who asks about the hope we have in Christ, 1 Peter 3:15. When you have received the good news of Christmas, the Holy Spirit will lead you to proclaim God's truth to others, to your family, to your friends, to your classmates, your coworkers. It is the best news that has ever been given. It's worthy to be shared. Final point tonight. The Holy Spirit leads us to proclaim our worship to God. We proclaim God's truth to others, but we proclaim our worship to God. As Pastor Jonathan preached on Sunday, when you have received the gift of salvation that is found in Christ alone, how can you withhold your joyful worship to the Savior? The good news of Christmas ought to fill us year-round with a heart that desires to sing praises to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I love reading Paul's letters. We're in the middle of giving instruction and explaining doctrine. He seems overwhelmed with worship, and he interrupts his letter to write praises. In Romans chapter 11, Paul interrupts his letter to write, "Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God." Or in 1 Timothy 1:17, Paul pauses to write, "To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." That was the response of the shepherds after visiting baby Jesus in Luke 2:21. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard as it had been told them. In fact, all of heaven seemed to overflow with worship at the birth of Jesus when a multitude of the heavenly host appeared before the shepherds saying, "Glory to God in the highest," Luke 2:14. That had to be an awesome and amazing thing to witness. But I've got good news for you. If you have received Christ as your Savior and Lord, if you have put your hope and faith in Christ alone, that will be your future experience. Unending praise and worship to the one who alone is worthy. The Apostle John recorded a vision God gave him of heaven and wrote that he heard the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands, praising God with a loud voice by saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." Then John heard every living creature proclaim, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." If you are here tonight and you have placed your faith in Christ, you will spend eternity in heaven, joining every living creature in worship to God. Thankfully, we don't have to wait to give God our praise and worship. And we're going to do that now. I want to invite the worship team to come up, lead us in more singing. And listen, one of the great things about so many Christmas hymns is that lyrically they proclaim God's truth and they proclaim worship to God. So we get to apply tonight's message together right now. As we do, I pray that our corporate proclamations of truth and worship will refresh you with the good news of great joy that is for all people. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, how can we say anything but thank you? Thank you for your obedience to take on flesh, to live the perfect sinless life we could never live, to pay the penalty of sin in our place so that we can have a restored relationship with you. May our worship this evening be pleasing to you. May the truth of Christmas refresh our hearts. We pray this in your name. Amen.